Well, continuing the study last Sunday night of the message, we're thinking about the difference between sin and mistakes and things like that. And I wanted to restate these two things. Every false spirit and every false doctrine will lead away from God and righteousness and toward or into sin. Now, we know that's true, don't we? Everything false is false for a reason. It's made to deceive. It's made to take someone somewhere they don't know they're going. And I want to remember this. If the opposer of righteousness can put a label on a mistake and label it the same as sin, if he can put a label on an area that we need some growth in, and he can slap the label of sin on that, and it's not sin, then he's really done something. He's really done something. That's very critically important to this whole thing. A mistake, a need to grow in grace, then he can just say, everybody sins more or less every day. We've heard that. If you've ever spoken to people in the world, you've probably heard that very statement from them, if you've talked to them very much. And then when people believe that everything's a sin and it's all in the same category, then they begin to live a much less careful life. And so the disobedience that happens because it doesn't matter. They're sinners anyway. Well, that's something from Satan, and we want to recognize that. I want to think a little bit tonight. I know we don't have very little time, so we're not going to get very far, but I want to think about regarding the pricks, confess and forsake, regard the correction of the Lord. But first, let's look into a little bit about sin itself. And I know a little bit of this will be redundant from last Sunday night. But in 1 John 3 and 4, it says, "Whosoever committeth sin transgresseth also the law, for sin is the transgression of the law." Sin is a transgression. It's a disobedience of the law. Now, I want to think for a few minutes here. People try to manipulate the word sin, and they try to put it in so many different cans and with so many different labels. They try to... We'll stop there for the moment. But it says sin is the transgression of the law. Romans 5 and 19 says, "For as by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners." Do you know how they were made? You know how the human race fell into sin and all were made sinners? Because Adam and Eve sinned. Because they disobeyed God. That's why. Through one man's disobedience, it says, many were made sinners. So by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. It was disobedience that got Adam and Eve in trouble. And rather than try to stick a label on sin and make sin everything that misses the mark, because that's what people try to can this thing in. Anything that misses the mark. If you wasn't as patient as you should be, you sinned. Folks, that's not true. That's just not true. We have a growth, as we spoke last week, in grace. And what we want to do is we want to be able to discern a little bit of the difference, because Satan wants to beat us up for one thing. Every little thing he wants to tell you, you've lost out with the Lord, you know, or you're no good, or you're no whatever. We want to remember something, that God wants us to make it, and he paid a big price for that. What he doesn't want is our disobedience. We know that the Lord commanded, and this is found, I'm just going to move quickly here, Genesis 2 and 16 to 17, the Lord commanded the man, saying, "Of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, For in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. And people today, we have this running thing with certain religions that says such things as, we're alive. You're a son. How can you not be a son? Well, folks, a son can die. That's what happened to Adam and Eve. But a son in the Lord doesn't die because they made some little mistake or something of that nature. A son, Adam and Eve, the thing they died for was because they certainly disobeyed God. And they knew it. They chose to disobey God. And so Ephesians 2 and 1 to 3 says, "And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others." You know, we were dead in trespasses and sins. We were dead. We were dead to spiritual things. We sinned in ways that we knew. We transgressed and trespassed in ways we didn't know because we were dead. We didn't have any life. We didn't have any understanding. We didn't have any spiritual light within our life before we were saved. And so I'm not here tonight to try to make any occasion for the flesh, because the scriptures plainly tell us to not make any provision for the flesh. But I will tell you what I don't want to do is allow Satan to come into our lives and to come into your life or my life and beat on us and whip us. If he can't get us to do wrong, then he'll accuse us of doing wrong. Is that true? It sure is, isn't it? He's a master at it. And what we want to do is uncover a little bit of his trickery and some of those things. Folks, we were dead in trespasses and sins. We were dead in ways we didn't even know we were dead. We were sinning against God and we didn't even know it, if you want to say it that way. We were trespassing against God, I'll say it that way, in ways we didn't even know because we were dead. You know, the Lord wants to begin a new life in us. And he told Nicodemus, you remember this in John 3 and 3? He told him, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Do you know there has to be spiritual life within us? And we need to make sure we're not dealing with a book. We could put with just a book. We're dealing with the living Word of God. And if we could write a book and say, okay, if you go here, that's sin. If you do this, that's sin. If you do this, that's wrong. If you do this, that's what God likes. You know, we could go down and make a list like that. But folks, we're alive. There's something that God wants to do greater than that, a lot greater than that. He wants to write his words in our hearts. And he wants to write them in our desires. He wants to change who we are and work with us. I want to look at, I know this is a little bit redundant here, but I think it's important for us, and I think it's important enough to go over it a little bit again, even though lightly we touched it last time, I think. In Revelation 21, in verse 8, it says, "But the fearful and unbelieving," I want to think about some of the things that we all deal with. Have you ever dealt with fear? We heard a little testimony here a little bit ago, a couple of testimonies about people dealing with the fear of what was going to happen. You ever dealt with fear? Well, here's what Revelation says about fear. And I want to try to make this so that we understand what we're dealing with. "But the fearful and unbelieving," those that will not accept Christ, those that will not believe in the Lord for the salvation of their souls, "and the abominable." You see, there's something evil here he's talking about. "The fearful, the unbelieving, the abominable, and murderers and whoremongers." And he puts this in this fearfulness in with all of that. And sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. I don't want any of us to get beat up because you feel some fear sometimes. Do you know Paul felt fear? And I'm glad he wrote it down so we could read it. 2 Corinthians 7 and 5 and 6. He says, "For when we were come," this is 2 Corinthians 7, "for when we were coming to Macedonia, our flesh had no rest, but we were troubled on every side." Do you know that Paul felt those things too? Insomuch one place he says that he despaired even of life. Without were fightings, within were fears. That's what Paul was experiencing. You know, he had to fight battles just like we do. And he had to win victorious without sin. And he did. By his own word of testimony. Without were fightings, within were fears. Nevertheless, God that comforteth those that are cast down comforted us by the coming of Titus. You know, folks, we're important to each other. You're important to me. When I get down, I need your prayers. Because I have confidence in your prayers. And I know they go through. And you're the same way. You need them too. We may feel the emotion of fear. But when fear becomes wrong is when it makes us disobey God. Okay? That's when fear is wrong. And for an example, let's look at 1 Samuel 15 and 24. "And Saul said unto Samuel, I have sinned." See, he denied all of this all along until Samuel told him, "The Lord's going to take this kingdom away from you." That's in other words. And he said, "I've sinned." Okay, I've sinned. "For I have transgressed the commandment of the Lord in thy words, because I feared the people and obeyed their voice." Did Saul know what God wanted? Saul knew exactly what God wanted. Saul did what Saul wanted to do. And by his words, he did it because he feared the people. You know, that's when fear becomes deadly to us. Do you know that we're going to be by the side of, in heaven, in the judgment, we're going to be next to people that faced all kinds of things fearlessly, at the risk of their death. They faced the things that come to them. We're going to be beside people that face so much more than we did, any of us here, that it's not going to be thinkable. Think of Job, for instance. And there's many others that are unwritten. Revelation 12 and 10 to 12 says this, "And I heard a voice saying in heaven," Revelation 12 and 10, "Now has come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of His Christ. For the accuser of the brethren is cast down." Aren't you glad for that? Now, I know that there's more meaning to this than just the devil. But I want to tell you something. The devil was behind every institution that accused the people of God. And so it says, "For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night." I want us to remember something. The accuser is cast down. Now, I want to tell you, that doesn't mean he's not going to keep accusing you. Because he's going to keep throwing mud balls at you, if you will. He's going to keep doing that. He's going to try to do his best to discourage. But I want to tell you, those that have a clarity in their conscience, knowing it's not that they don't have any accusation, it's that there's no accusation that's true. Because the devil will accuse good people sometimes. I'm preaching this message, folks, because I think it's real important for us to have a little bit of clarity about where we're at with things. "And they overcame him," it says, "by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto the death." Now, that's who these people were up there. You think we're going to get in and we loved our lives? And we loved our wills. And we loved ourselves. Folks, if we know God requires something of us, we better not love our lives more than that. We better be willing. Now, I'm talking about people that knows what God wants them to do. We better be willing to lay our life down. That's the people we're going to be beside up here in heaven. And it's not going to work if we loved our lives more than the Lord. We're going to have to love the Lord. We're going to have to love His will in our life more than our life. And so, to me, these things are critical. They love not their lives unto the death. I would that all of us take this into our heart tonight and recognize, you know what? I want to love not my life unto the death. If I know God's will, that's where I want to stand, by the grace of God. I know we can't do this on our own, but folks, we can't have spiritual life on our own. We depend on the grace of God working in our lives. Therefore, rejoice, ye heavens, and ye that dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea, for the devil has come down upon you, having great wrath, because he knoweth that he hath but a short time. So the Lord help us this evening to not love our lives to the death. Decide it in our hearts now. It's critical. It's important that we love the Lord more than our will, than our life, than our desires, than our wife, than our husband, than our mother, father, children, or brethren, than whatever, that we love the Lord more than all those things. Those are the people that we're going to find in heaven. And if we're going to get there, we're going to have to be one of those people. In Revelation 7 and 13 and 14, it says, "And one of the elders answered, saying unto me, What are these which are arrayed in white robes, and whence came they?" What are these arrayed in white robes? Where'd they come from? "And I said unto him, Sir, thou knowest. And he said to me, These are they which came out of great tribulation, and have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb." Isn't that beautiful? These, you see these in the white robes? You see what is in heaven? You see those in heaven? They've come out of great tribulation. And folks, we take our things and we think they're too big and we can't make it. And let's don't be weak. Let's don't work from fear or anything else. Let's work from the grace of God. He'll make us able to make it. I want to talk about another emotion that we deal with. And then we talked a little bit about it last week, but I want to say a little more. In Ephesians, the fourth chapter, we mentioned this verse, "Be ye angry and sin not." This is the 26th verse. "Be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath." Do you know what? I'm just telling you something. I believe, this. I'll say it for myself. I believe we're all going to experience the whole range of emotions in our life. We are going to feel anger sometimes. Folks, just like fear, anger becomes sinful when it makes us disobey God. And so we better be careful with this thing called anger. We can't give in to it. We've got to put it to death. We've got to get a hold of the grace of God so that it don't live like it did. Because the emotion is going to come. But folks, the grace of God has promised to keep us to the very end, hasn't it? And so, I'll tell you where it becomes wrong. Let's look back at Genesis, the 49th chapter, and the 5th verse. And we find here Jacob giving the blessing to his children. Well, Simeon, he said, verse 5, 49 of Genesis, "Simeon and Levi are brethren." Well, all 12 of them were brethren. But these two were in cahoots. They were close. "Instruments of cruelty are in their habitations. Oh, my soul, come not thou into their secret. This is their father. He's dying. This is what he says about them. Unto their assembly, come not thou into their secret. Unto their assembly, mine honor, be not thou united. For in their anger, they slew a man. And in their self-will, they dig down a wall. Cursed be their anger, for it was fierce, and their wrath, for it was cruel. I will divide them in Jacob and scatter them in Israel. Not much of a blessing there, was there? You know, the scriptures tell us that anger rests in the bosom of fools. You know, if we have an anger problem, we better really, really get down to business with God. Because there's some things that we really can't totally change about ourselves. God has to breathe life into us. We might have to fast and pray. We might have to seek the Lord. But I want to tell you, there's another element, and we probably won't get to it because we're almost out of time now. But folks, there's another element in not making provision for the flesh. There's another element in cutting the hand off, in plucking the eye out, that the Lord wants us to do. And so, Ecclesiastes 7 and 9 says, be not hasty in thy spirit to be angry, for anger resteth in the bosom of fools. You know, there's more than one type of anger. And the Lord has to help us with it all. But there's a momentary anger, and we have to be careful of that. We have to maybe get out of a situation as quick as we can when we feel that rising, don't we? We don't want it to make us sin, even in our heart, because people can sin in their hearts. And I'm not trying to cast something to make us feel bad, folks. We just need to be careful, don't we, that we keep a clean life and a clean heart before God. When people sin in their hearts, that means they already did it in their heart. Whatever. There is an anger that's momentary. But you know what? There's a deep-seated anger, resentment. The scriptures call it bitterness. It dwells deep. It has roots. It grows out. And it infects. And you know what else it does? It gets in other people around us. And it infects them. Have you ever seen an angry people? There's whole nations that somebody told my son that came back from one of the foreign countries in war, and you know their only idea is if something happened to them, it's got to be righted by something happening back. Just has to be done. You know, Jesus Christ sets us free. He sets us free. The peace and the grace of God is so valuable tonight. And so let's see it for what it is. And so James tells us in 1 and 19, he says, wherefore, my beloved brethren, listen to this. Let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. So instead of us getting on the whatever our wrath is to, let's make sure we don't let it in our soul. That's when anger, wrath, vindictiveness, bitterness becomes evil. It gets in here and it defiles. The scriptures tell us that many be defiled, doesn't it? It spreads like that. Oh, the Lord help us today to to be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. We might have to kind of work on our mouth, hadn't we? The grace of God, that's what we depend on. Oh, we reach out for the help of the Lord in all of these things. In Hebrews, or James, the third chapter, let's read this little bit here. 3 and 13 to 18. This is such a valuable set of scriptures for us. Who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. You know what? The Lord gives us opportunity and time many times to see. You said that. That wasn't the thing to say. Do you know that that's God's, that's his pre-stop. That's where he's trying to stop us before we get in trouble. And we stop and we realize, oh, yes, that's right. That was kind of said with a sticker on the end of it. You know, stop there. Apologize. I should not have said that to you. And you know what? Then we begin a growth in the Lord, and the Lord works with that. I want to encourage us tonight. The Lord is not interested in pinning us down, He's interested in actually giving us what this set of scriptures says. Listen to the rest of it. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish. For where envying and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. But the wisdom, see, there's so many other things that it opens the door to. Where envying and strife is, and that's down in the heart, it opens the door and you find every other buddy with it. Evil works, it says. Or evil work. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure. It's not mixed with the flesh. Then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated or talked to. Full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. And listen to this, the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. Do you know tonight that the Lord wants us to plant, to sow something that's going to come up and be a blessing? The fruit of righteousness is sown or planted in peace of them that make peace. And you know, I think about that and what that brings. It brings a peaceable life. When we live that way, it brings, when our lives are guided by these principles, folks, things are very different than when our lives are guided by the principles of strife and ugliness and all of those things. The Lord wants to bring us peace in our life, and we plant that peace, and that peace grows, and it brings to us a life of tranquility and peace in those ways. So I want to thank the Lord tonight. We would be changing directions now, and it's 8:30. So I'm gonna quit. But folks, let's remember. If you want to look up some of these things, I want to study at some point, and it don't have to be next Sunday night. Just whenever. Regard the pricks or the dealings of the Lord. It's so important to regard the dealings of the Lord. Has the Lord ever pricked you? The Lord told Paul the Apostle, he said, it's hard for you. It's hard for you to, how did he say it? To kick against the pricks. Paul, it started back there with Stephen. You was holding the coats and you saw that. And you saw the grace of God on Stephen. Paul, it was hard for you to kick against that. And here Paul put these years into kicking against the pricks. You know, the Lord had mercy on him, didn't he? He'll have mercy on us too if we'll let him. So the Lord help us tonight to not kick against the pricks. And maybe we'll go into that a little more later. The chastening of the Lord, you know, that's really valuable. And to those that are exercised by it, we'll talk about that later. You know, the scriptures tell us that he that covereth his sin shall not prosper. Whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. You know, the Lord is there for us, isn't he? And the Lord is looking to cause our life to grow and to produce much fruit. fruit. That's what he's wanting. He wants our life to produce much fruit. It comes from being hooked up to the vine. It comes from the Lord filtering his grace down into our life. And we pray and we seek him and we humble ourselves and we say, Lord, I'm sorry. I shouldn't have said that. I was too quick. I was too quick. I was tired. Lord, help me. Is there a place for that? There is a place for that. I want to tell you this tonight. Oh, the Lord, help us to be good husbands, to be good wives, to be good fathers and mothers. I will tell you what it'll do. It'll make a difference in how things go. But we have to humble ourselves to the Lord to get those good things. You pray for me tonight.